Welcome to Hey, Remember the 80s? I'm Carrie.
And I'm Joe.
Please remember, we're not professional podcasters or music critics. We're just waiting at the other end of the love line so we can talk about 80s music.
Love line.
Call me on the love line. Welcome.
We should do an episode of just you singing coming soon.
Sometimes I just need to break into song.
Of course. Welcome to you and welcome to any new listeners. And hello to loyal listeners we found in Glasgow, Kentucky, San Juan, Puerto Rico, and Brumma, Sweden. Hello.
We have a Facebook. It's facebook.com/HRT80S. And we have a Blue Sky. Find us there or email us at, what is our email address?
Is it heyrememberthe80s@gmail.com?
It must be, yes. I was trying to remember if it was shortened at all, but no, it is heyrememberthe80s@gmail.com. Or message us on Facebook. Okay, great. Tidbits.
Yeah, we've got one, it looks like.
Yes. More reporting on the BBC Piano Room, which has now wrapped up.
Oh, it's all done? Oh, wow.
I think it was like a month long. I think they might do it every year, because if you go and look on the YouTube page, you can go back and see previous years. But the last act to perform this year was the Pet Shop Boys. And here they are singing All the Young Dudes.
Man, I need TV when I got T-Rex. Brother, you guessed, I'm a doodad. I'm a doodad. I'm a doodad.
Joe, I was perplexed by this entry.
Let me try to figure out why you were perplexed. Were you perplexed about why they chose this song?
No, I was perplexed about how they performed the song. There was some kind of fuzziness to the orchestra. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, all the other ones we've heard have just been the orchestra performing, but this time it was like they were being fed through a fuzz box or something.
I would say I thought it was maybe a little off. I couldn't put my finger on it. My main thing was that I'm not too familiar with Pet Shop Boys. I didn't know who I was looking at singing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's Neil
Tennant. And where
was
the other one?
And Chris Lowe was there. He was like playing something. I'm trying to remember now.
Piano? Was he on the piano?
Yeah, I think so. He's the guy wearing the hat. He's always wearing a hat.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was behind the piano, but it was strange. I would like to see what else they performed, but I was not a big fan of this cover.
What was their original? Don't they play one of their hits and then a cover?
They performed Left to My Own Devices.
Okay, that's fine. You know, not the obvious hit, I would say, but one I would like to see them perform. I'll have to check that one out.
And then a song called Loneliness that I am not familiar with.
You heard a Pet Shop Boys song in the wild at your local Quick Trip, your gas station of choice.
Yes, it's another tidbit. I was telling Joe that I went into Quick Trip. It was about 8:30 on a weekday morning, and Rent by Pet Shop Boys was playing. And I said, this was way too much for
a Monday morning at 8 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if you do not know, folks, that song is featured in the movie Saltburn. And I was like, why in the world would this ever be playing in Quick Trip? And it must be some resurgence because of Saltburn. And then I was kind of annoyed about that. So did you want to say something about Saltburn?
Never. I've learned my lesson.
Anyways, that's it for tidbits, right?
Dave asked, he's like, hey, do you want to put something in about any 80s releases coming out on Record Store Day this year, which is April 20th. But I thought, you know, the only thing on my list so far is stuff from the 90s or now. I don't remember seeing any 80s stuff, except in the UK, the ambassador that they've chosen is Kate Bush.
That's correct, yes.
So we have Paramore in the US, but they picked Kate Bush, and she put out a really lovely statement about they thought records would be gone and they wanted to be done with it. But look what happened. The people want it. There's just something about having that large scale artwork and wanting to own that piece of it. Mm-hmm. She thinks is so beautiful. And I agree.
Yeah, when you told me that the list was out of Record Store Day and you weren't too impressed with anything, I thought to myself, oh, well, I'll go look and we'll see what I'll come up with. But I didn't come up with anything either. There's really not much on there for sure. Record Store Day this year is kind of a dud.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a big main segment to get to, and it is another birthday bash. So get out your party hats and party horns and get ready to celebrate some birthdays happening this past week in the world of 80s artists. Up first, Neil Schon, who was born on February 27th, 1954, on an Air Force base in Oklahoma. To talk about every group he was involved in would take us maybe the rest of the episode. He joined Santana in 1971 when he was just 17, and he played with that band for a couple albums. And then he was one of the founding members of the Golden Gate Rhythm Section, who later changed their name to Journey. Also in the 80s, he made albums with Jan Hammer, Michael Bolton, and Sammy Hagar, among others. He's trying to challenge Phil Collins for the hardest working man.
Bizay.
And just as the decade ended, he joined Bad English and had a couple more big hits. But we are going to talk about another album Neil made in 1989, his first solo album called Last Night. And here is a track, Smoke of the Revolution. Can you guess who is credited with these backing vocals and vocal scats? Joe, do you have a guess or did you look?
I didn't look, but if I had to guess based on how you phrased that and the context, I would say it was Steve Perry.
No, that is Sheryl Crow.
Wow, you should have given me a heads up on that one. That's my girl.
I know. That's why I told you last week when I said I had already discovered something. That's what it was. And I wanted to know if you could recognize
her.
No,
I didn't guess it. Yes. Wow. Amazing.
She sounds pretty good. Although we'll get into this song in a minute. That album also featured former Journey members Jonathan Cain, Steve Smith, and Randy Jackson on various tracks. But it was not a success on the charts or with critics. In fact, one of them said, "This sounds like nothing more than another Journey record and may end up fading away fast with only diehard Journey fans providing it with any support at retail." Well, that person was right.
That's a really specific pan.
I know. Neil Schon is still out there performing with Journey and in recent years has become more famous for making headlines with his fifth wife, who is a former Real Housewife who left her husband for him, and with his contentious relationship with Jonathan Cain.
Who is that housewife? You have to know.
Well, I mean, when she was on the Housewives, her name was Michelle Salahi. She was on the Housewives of D.C., and she was the one that allegedly crashed a party at the White House. Do you remember this?
Yes, that's. I was about to say, I don't recognize that name, and it doesn't sound familiar at all, but that headline I do remember.
And then it was like a big scandal, basically, right at the end of her run on Housewives. I mean, that edition of Housewives only went one season anyways. But yeah, she ran off and left her husband. So Smoke of the Revolution, Joe, what did you think?
I didn't hate it, Carrie, but I didn't love it. It was just kind of there. I wasn't offended. You know, there's some songs we talk about where like, oh, God, why? But
yeah,
this was just kind of blah.
Yeah, it was kind of blah. I will say that I think Sheryl Crow was probably the best thing about it.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said about Sheryl Crow on this podcast.
And it's pretty evident why Neil Schon was not the singer for Journey. The song itself doesn't make any sense. It's blah. It's nothing special.
Yeah, agreed.
Sorry, Neil Schon.
Up next is Cindy Wilson. Let's say happy birthday to her. Cindy Wilson of the B-52s also celebrated a birthday this week on February 28th. Her older brother, Ricky, encouraged her to harmonize with him while he was learning guitar. And soon they were forming a band with some other pals in Athens, Georgia. In 1980, after the release of their second album, all the band members put their money together and bought a house in upstate New York. For the next several years, they would live and record material together there. We're going to talk about a song Cindy was involved in outside of the B-52s. That's a song by the Ramones called Chop Suey. That's Kate Pearson. She's also singing backing vocals with Cindy, and Debbie Harry is in the mix as well. The song was recorded during sessions for the Ramones' 1981 album, but it didn't make the final cut. It eventually appeared on the soundtrack of the 1983 film Get Crazy, about an ill-fated New Year's Eve concert. That soundtrack also featured songs by Sparks, Marshall Crenshaw, and Lou Reed.
All right, Joe, we have to talk about Chop Suey real quick.
I was not ready to hear a song by the Ramones. No shade. They're not for me, is how I feel about it. But I really enjoyed the song. And I thought, wow, every song by the Ramones should feature the female members of other bands that I love. And then I could probably be on board.
Yeah, definitely the female vocals are the best part of this song. But I have to say that after I listened to it the first time, I was like, oh, no, because this song is racist.
Oh, I didn't even listen to the lyrics.
Well,
and in fact, I was going to ask you, I don't really even know what chop suey is.
Chop suey is some kind of food dish.
That's what I thought, but I thought maybe you'd have more specifics.
Okay, I can look those up for you in a minute, but let me just say that it's towards the end of the song when all of a sudden there's someone, and I don't know who it is.
Oh, no.
They're doing an over-the-top Asian accent.
Oh, gosh. Let's say it's Nil Schon.
Yeah, they're making like martial arts sounds. Yeah, it really bummed me out. Especially since, yes, I really do love the vocals on here. Let me tell you, chop suey is a dish made with diced pork loin and soy sauce and bean sprouts. So there you go.
Sounds good, yeah, except the sprouts. But back to Cindy.
Yes, let's get back to her.
She married Ricky's guitar tech in 1985, and she took a couple hiatuses from the band over the years for maternity leave, but has never strayed far from the B-52s. However, in 2023, just after the final B-52s show, she did release a solo album, and we've got a clip here of her song, Midnight. I want to know.
Enjoyed this. I'm going to listen to that whole album. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a throwback, but also new, and it's fun to just hear Cindy.
She sounded great, too, on it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Loved that.
Love you, Cindy Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't really care for this next artist, but I thought I would take the opportunity to learn more about him.
You're growing is what it is. That's growth.
Yes. Well, I was thinking maybe he's got some good deeper hits, so let's find out. I'm talking about Anthony Terrell Smith, who was born on March 3rd, 1966. We know him better as Tone Loke. He went to high school in L.A. at a private school called the Hollywood Professional School, and he was rapping even as a teenager. He was 21 when he dropped his first single called On Fire. I'm rocking parties from sea to sea, talking about everything from A to Z. Some say my style is lackadaisical. Now you hear the music and you say that's the way to go. I show a kid you had signs to pick it. Now I'm rocking stronger and you want free tickets. You bust a bar and rap for your week and you've shown it. Don't waste my time, I need an opponent. Not only will I dog it, but I'll make it retire. Don't get close, this cut is on fire. Fire! What should we call him? Tone? Loke?
I always go by the full name Tone Loc. Okay. I've never strayed.
Tone Loc soon signed a record deal, and a remixed version of On Fire appeared on his debut album in 1989. But the hits from that album were, of course, Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina. The third single, I Got It Going On, was not as successful. And water freeze, I'm the baddest motherfucker on the seven seas. Like a wizard in a blizzard, I'm performing as warm. In a hurricane, earthquake, and thunderstorm. Not mistaken or faking, I'm right up front. And if you're seeking and peeking, I'm the one you want. Always chill, nothing less than spectacular. Lokes on the mic with vivacious vernacular. Serving and curving all the ones in my way. Yeah, limping and pimping because I live in LA. Sunny cow, that's where the players chill. But no need to talk because you know the deal. Turn up the volume on the speaker. Because my rhymes are getting stronger after others get. Hell yeah, I'm right. I can never be wrong. And in case you forgot, I got it going on. It did not hit the Hot 100, but it made it to 59 R&B and 18 on the rap chart. Tone Loc only released one more album and has struggled with legal and medical issues over the years. But good news, Joe. You can book a personal video from him on Cameo for just $200.
Ah, well, there's a birthday present idea for you.
Exactly.
Got that figured out.
Well, I will say that I enjoyed On Fire. I thought it was really? Very good. Yeah. You wow. didn't?
Well, I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy it, but hearing On Fire and then I Got It Going On, you could tell they threw the money behind that second song.
That's true. That's very true. And I will say that they even sound alike, and they even kind of sound similar to his other singles.
All of his other songs? Yeah.
It's like they had one beat that they were using and that was it. I wanted to know, maybe he's got some good deeper hits. And so I was ready to appreciate whatever I heard as long as it wasn't Funky Cold Medina or Wild Thing. And so I enjoyed On Fire just for the fact that it wasn't over the top and gross and creepy. Yeah, I probably am not going to put it on a playlist or anything.
But it wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't terrible. And yeah. I Got It Going On, again, yes, I liked it more than I like the other two just because it's not crass.
Sexist.
Yeah, that too.
Misogynistic.
Yep, I keep going.
Well, up next, and born on March 3rd, 1953 in Paddington, London, England. That's a place? Thought it was a bear.
It's a train station. I guess Aww. It must be an area too.
Cute. Well, it's Robin Hitchcock. He attended art school in London and then moved to Cambridge, where he busked and joined a number of bands. Towards the end of the 70s, he was a member of the Soft Boys, a band that got no love from critics or charts, but later became well-known as a cited influence on bands like R.E.M. and The Replacements. Here's a clip from their 1980 single, I Wanna Destroy You. The way you treat each other really makes me feel. After the Soft Boys broke up in 1981, another member of that band, Kimberly Rue, went on to form Katrina and the Waves. Robin put out a solo album and then formed a backing group called The Egyptians, which included Soft Boy Andy Metcalf. They signed to major label A&M in 1987 and released the album Globe of Frogs. Peter Buck from R.E.M. and Glenn Tilbrook from Squeeze guested on some tracks. The song Balloon Man was a big college radio hit. So I made a ride on 44th and I washed my hands when I got in. And it rained like a slow divorce. And I wish I could ride a horse. And Balloon Man blew up in my hand. Robin actually wrote this one for the Bangles and sent it to their management, but he said later he didn't even know if they got it. Quote, there was no email back then, so it was harder to check up. I guess so. He says it's one of his songs that he'd be happy to never hear again because he's played it so many times over the years. You got to think that everyone we talk about in this podcast feels that way about all of their songs, right?
Yeah, it really is.
You don't got to come out and say it.
Let's rewind to I Want to Destroy You, which
okay.
I will say I've heard the name The Soft Boys many times over the years. I never made the connection that Robert Hitchcock was in it. And I also will say that I thought The Soft Boys, okay, well, they must be quiet, soft, or whatever. But when I Want to Destroy You started.
And bold. Yes. And from the very first note, I was like, this is just so over the top, loud, aggressive, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was almost, yeah, it was a little bit annoying to me. I wasn't a big fan of this song.
I was really not expecting it, so I think it really threw me for a loop. I didn't mind it ultimately, and I can see why it was influential, but this particular song I'm really not excited to hear again. I liked this anecdote about the Balloon Man being written for the Bangles, because it kind of sounds like something they would do, definitely.
I'd love to check in with them and see if they heard it before, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just to know.
He apparently knew them and mentioned, you know, hey, I have a song that I wrote for you. And they're the ones who said, well, send it to our record label. And so then he did. But like he said, he never knew whether they actually got it or not. I think they would have been polite and followed up with him. But anyways, I mean, and that one's fine, too.
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it a lot better. Yeah.
I like the music a lot better for sure, but this is another one where I'm kind of like, what's going on here? Who is the Balloon Man? What's his deal? Yeah. I wasn't quite getting it.
Robin Hitchcock is one of those names where I saw it in Rolling Stone and Entertainment Weekly, like from the late 80s through the 90s, and being like, I've seen this name so much, I should know who this is, but I never really seeked it out, you know?
That's absolutely the same experience I have. I think they used to play his videos on 120
minutes. 120
minutes,
yeah.
They never made any impact on me because I don't remember any of them.
And who was that British host of that show?
Dave Kendall.
You'll never forget it.
I won't. Well, when I saw this next name on the list of birthdays, I thought, I don't know who that is, but we have to talk about them based on the name alone. And that name is Jance Garfatt. He was born on March 3rd, 1944, and he was the bassist in Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show from 1972 to 1985. The band's last pop hit was Love Line, which peaked at 60 in 1982.
When no one knows you or understands you, I do. 'Cause no one means as much, girl, as you do.
It also made it to number 19 on the AC chart. It was a cover of an Eddie Rabbit song, which was the title track to his fifth studio album. Eddie's version was not released as a single. And did you know that Even Stevens was not just a Disney sitcom starring a young Shia LaBeouf, but also the name of a Nashville songwriter that worked extensively with Eddie Rabbit? Yep, Even Stevens. It's unclear if that's his real name, co-wrote most of Eddie's pop crossover hits. Back to Jance, there's not much detail available on what he got up to after Dr. Hook broke up in 1985, and he sadly passed away in a motorcycle accident in 2006. Joe, what's your relationship with Dr. Hook?
Okay, it's funny you phrase it that way because... What I want to say first and foremost is that what happens to me is that when I see the name Dr. Hook, I get them confused with Dr. John.
Oh, totally understandable. Yes.
If you named me a list of 10 songs and mixed up the names of those titles and it was from those two acts, I probably would not be able to guess who sang what.
I couldn't even name you a song by Dr. John.
Is he the guy who sang the Blossom theme song?
Yes, I think you're right.
So that one I could get, but who sang cover of the Rolling Stone?
Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
See, you're doing better than me. I will tell you, when Love Line came on, Dave goes, oh, this song's great. I love this. Who is it? And I was like, Dr. Hook. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's right. And I was like, you didn't know that. I didn't know that. I like this song. I like it.
I like it, too. I have a weird association that I want to talk about.
Yes, please.
Did you ever watch the show Breaking Bad? I think at one point you and Dave were talking about watching it, but you didn't.
We never did.
Okay. Mm-mm. So after Breaking Bad ended, there was a prequel, not a prequel. There was like a sequel movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware. I know.
Okay, I mean, thank you. It came out on Netflix. It was called El Camino. And there is a scene in it where this character played by Jesse Plemons, who's a total psychopath, is like singing a Dr. Hook song. And it's not even this song. I had to look it up beforehand because I was like, it's not this song, is it? It's not. It's, hold on. I looked it up and now
Baby Makes Her Blue Jeans Talk?
No, it's not that one.
Better Love Next Time?
You see, you know a lot of Dr. Hook songs.
It's only because I play them on Smooth Sailing Sunday.
Oh, that's true. No, so it's Sharing the Night Together by Dr. Hook.
Never heard that one. It's got to be 70s, right?
It is 70s, yes. Okay. But anywho, literally now, whenever I hear a Dr. Hook song, I think about that, which is a little bit sinister.
You.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it really does. But I do enjoy this song, Love Line. I think this is probably my favorite of Dr. Hook's songs because it's very sweet and there's not anything really overtly creepy or sexual about it. So it's pretty much the best Dr. Hook can do for me.
I remember, and this I'm telling on myself now because I said I don't know all their songs, but I remember watching some random guy on YouTube and something from the late 70s and they showed Dr. Hook. And one guy was a hottie and I was like, that guy was in Dr. Hook? I just felt like, I don't know, when I picture them, I feel like they all look like Muppets.
Very true. Absolutely true. And it's funny because I just looked up Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show's Wikipedia page, and the picture there is the picture of them from the cover of the Rolling Stone, which is a cartoon. And that might be what you're thinking of. It's like a caricature. They're
Muppet-esque.
Very out. Yeah, Muppet-esque.
Let me look at it. Oh, yeah. Oh.
I mean, this guy has a patch. What's the deal with this guy?
So they had a lot of hits in the 70s, it looks like. Sexy Eyes, that's another one.
Yes,
I forgot about.
Sexy Eyes, that's
Better Love Next
one.
Time. Yeah. They don't deserve to be cross-wired in your brain as being sinister.
That's true. That's very true. And maybe now I've heard more of their music, it'll override that.
I would just blame it all on Jesse Plemons and his good acting skills and this Rolling Stone cover.
Yes. They also have a song from 1972 that is called Carry Me Carry, which I enjoy because I love anything that says carry.
Well, they also, their second album was called Sloppy Seconds. If you want to take them down a peg again.
We've gone way too deep onto Dr.
Really?
Hook.
Really? Yeah, it's true.
We got to move on.
Okay, well, U.S. folks hearing the name Patsy Kensit would probably say, the model? If they don't just say, who? But Patsy Kensit was also an actress and a U.K. pop star in the 80s. Born on March 4th, 1968. She first acted when she was just 4 years old, continued to appear in movies and on TV from then on. In 1983, when she was just 15, she and her brother Jamie started the band that would become Eighth Wonder. Their early success was in Japan and Italy, although their singles were only hitting in the bottom half of the UK chart. But that all changed with their second album, Fearless. The single, I'm Not Scared, was written and co-produced by the Pet Shop Boys. One review at the time said, it is entirely meaningless and is exactly what you expect it to be. This doesn't stop it roving through an empty space with a fair amount of scarlet charm. Meow. But that review didn't stop it from reaching number 7 in the UK and hitting the top 5 in many other countries. Two other singles from that album charted on the Hot 100. That same year, the Pet Shop Boys recorded their own version of the song for their 3rd studio album. Your life's a mystery, mine is an open book. If I could read your mind, I think I'd take a look. I don't care, baby, I'm not scared. Eighth Wonder wouldn't make it out of the 80s when Patsy left to focus on her acting career. These days, she might be best known for her string of musician ex-husbands. She was married to Dan Donovan of Big Audio Dynamite, and then Jim Kerr of Simple Minds, and then Liam Gallagher of Oasis. Carrie, you forgot to put that she then married Jeremy Healy of Hazy Fantasy.
I mean, I obviously saw that name on her Wikipedia, but I don't think it referenced that he was in Hazy Fantasy.
She's certainly got a type.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for her.
Oh my goodness.
You go.
Okay.
Last year, Patsy did a 9-month stint on that never-ending British soap, EastEnders.
Indeed. Joe, have you ever seen a minute of EastEnders?
No, I don't think so. Have you?
No, I haven't. It occurs to me that it's like something that I would like to seek out and just watch one episode and see what it's like. But now that I'm saying that, I think we've probably already seen it basically because remember on RuPaul's UK Drag Race when they did that like skit?
It was like based on EastEnders, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'm not scared by Eighth Wonder. Give me your thoughts.
That review, that line from the review about it being just kind of like air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I interpreted it. It really just kind of breezes by.
Yeah.
And when you hear the Pet Shop Boys and it's like they kind of put some muscle behind it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a real song. But I think there's something about Eighth Wonder's version too that's good.
I was annoyed the whole time by her singing and the way it's very breathy. I guess it's a good way to compare it to the Pet Shop Boys where you said they put some muscle behind it and she has absolutely nothing. It's just like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the singing, but also like the instrumentation and just yeah. It really just sounds kind of like a real song and the other one just kind of sounds like a whim.
Yeah, that's a very good way to describe it. You're right. It's very strange too, the whole song, I'm Not Scared, and it just sounds so silly and not of any substance.
I'm glad we talked about it. I have a new song to think in my head when I'm downstairs and I have to turn out all the lights and then walk up the stairs by myself. I'm not scared.
I'm going to listen to a couple more of their songs and see if this is what she was doing all the time or if this was an affect for this particular song.
You know, I've played some on the attic.
Oh, really?
I think there's one called Baby Baby.
Okay.
I think there's another one besides this that we play in. It's got a little more meat.
Okay. Okay.
On its bones, I feel. A little more dancey.
I don't know anything about her, really, so I don't want to, like, deride her with no basis, but I do kind of think it's strange that she became a singer when the one song I've heard from her doesn't seem to support.
Have any singing.
Yes.
And it's another name I remember from my Entertainment Weeklies in the 90s. She was in movies, too.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like maybe, like, art house movies. I couldn't name anything she was in.
She was in a bunch of movies. She was in Lethal Weapon 2, which was probably her biggest U.S. movie. But she was in Absolute Beginners. She was in that movie.
Right. Yeah, I want to watch that. That's on the list when you visit.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, Joe.
Wow, that's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't put this in tidbits. I guess I can tell the listeners that I have finished Moonlighting season 5.
And I'm
done with the show. I'm not trying to rub it in, Carrie. Just putting it out there as a PSA.
I haven't watched it since I finished the first episode of season 5, which was a horrible episode. It really put me off.
What happened in it?
I don't want to spoil it for the viewers.
Oh, well, tell me and we'll cut it out. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Forget it. I blocked it out. That's why I forgot.
I really do need to get back into it and I need to get through it so that Joe and I can have some final thoughts and cover some music for Moonlighting. So there you go. And also, we talked about this before. I talked about going to see All of Us Strangers and talking about covering that music sometime in the future. Well, now it's on Hulu. So everyone watch it, and I'm going to rewatch it and Shazam these songs.
Oh, it's a good idea.
That I haven't been able to track down, although there are some articles out there finally that talk about some of the songs.
Great. Okay. Yeah, I'll put that on the list. I'll get that watched before the next recording.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be the next recording, but it'll be soon.
Then I have 2 weeks. Great. Even better.
Okay. Anything else you want to say, Joe?
Let me just, since we have time, let me look at my screenshots and see if there's anything I've been texting you about.
Did you see the article in Vulture today about Pino Palladino?
No, I want to see it, though.
Yeah, didn't have time to summarize it, but it talks about a couple famous solos from the 80s, so we'll cover that in tidbits next time.
Okay, that's awesome, yeah. Carrie, I should also mention that St. Louis, where I live, has a music festival that's just started last year. We had one, it went away, now we have a new one, started last year. I didn't go because there was no one I wanted to see, but this year, in September, the Evolution Festival has headliners The Killers and Beck, but also coming to town, Blondie and Nile Rodgers and Chic, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, you sent me that and I was like, whoa, I was kind of blown away by that lineup, especially those two big groups from the 80s. What are your thoughts, Joe? Are you going to get passes?
I told my husband I would love to see who plays when. I said, if it's The Killers and Blondie on one day, I'll go to that day. Mm-hmm. If it's The Killers and Chic, I'll go on that day. If The Killers are separate and the other day is, well, you know, I don't know. Let's never say never.
I guess so.
We'll see what happens.
We'll have to see.
Todd Rundgren is also going to be there. That's kind of 80s related. And Jane's Addiction.
Yeah. And not 80s related, but Pete Yorn. He's an old fave of mine.
Yeah, we've been talking about him too.
I haven't thought about him in a long time. Okay, well, I think that's it for today. We'll wrap it up. Next week, Joe, we're going to do some more obscure soundtrack songs. And I put out a call to the listeners on the Facebook page. Boy, oh boy, did they come through. So we've got plenty to talk about and even more.
I saw stuff I've never even heard of. You know, that's what perked my ears up.
It's so wonderful to have such brainy listeners that are able to come through for us and, point out things that we hadn't even thought of. So thank you to everyone that contributed to that. Yep. You still have time. Go drop something on there if you're so inclined and get ready for next week.
Okay. I'm out now. I don't have anything else, I promise.
Okay. Well, you can take us out then.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks for being there with us on episode 245. God, we're coming up on 250 pretty soon. So we got to do something big for that one. We're thinking about it. Thanks for participating on Facebook and commenting, liking, etc. Don't forget to be kind to yourself, be kind to others, enjoy every sandwich. And if someone is not treating you right, you look them dead in the eyes and you say, better be good to me. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.
Sharing the night together. Ooh. Sharing the night. Would you like to dance with me and hold me? You know I want to be holding you. Oh, yeah. I like feeling like I do when I see in your eyes that you're liking it.